You're listening to an audio from Sherwood Shores Chapel in Gordonville, Texas.
I went to my pastor and I said, you know, I have a hunger for God's Word. Tell me what to read. And he said, read the book of Ecclesiastes. I to this day have no idea why he said that. Because I came back a week later and he said, did you read it? And I said, yeah. I said, it depressed me. And he said, good. That's what it's supposed to do. You ever find sometimes life can become very mundane, very, very routine? You know, we get up and do the same thing day after day after day after day. How many of you have ever seen the movie called Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? You know, he wakes up at the same time every single day. I forget what the date was, but what day? I don't know what day that is. February 2nd. Okay, so it's February 2nd. He would wake up every day. And as it goes along, he tries different things to kind of break the routine, but nothing works. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you wake up every day to the same day every day? It's just the same old routine, the monotonous drudgery of life. But there's also something else. Let me ask you this, and be honest. How many of you at this time or ever in your life said, I wish I had more money? You know, if I only had just a little bit more, things would be better. If I only had just a little bit more, I'd be happy. I'd be content. But can I tell you that that is not true? And I can tell you that because Solomon, king of Israel, is about to tell us that it is not true. Says the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Did you know that all of your activity in your mundane routine of life in the end will mean absolutely nothing? Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to look forward to? To know that every Monday you have ever went to work. You know, I read a deal the other day. I really liked this. It said, Lord, please let me die in the morning so I don't have to go to work for nothing. But isn't it great to know that we're all working toward this great nothing? We accumulate things, we accumulate money. And let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you this at the very beginning here. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having things, okay? So don't misunderstand me. And I'll explain that more as we go along. But we notice that everything that we accumulate in this life is nothing. Solomon begins, look at verse 3. He says, what does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where streams flow, they will flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. And is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. Now remember who it is that's writing this. This is Solomon. When Solomon became king of Israel, he's the son of David. And the Lord said to Solomon, ask anything of me and it's yours. And Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to rule. Give me wisdom to be a good king. And God said, it's yours. And then God said, you know what, Solomon? Most men would have asked for power and money. Because you didn't ask for those, I'm going to give them to you anyway. Solomon was most likely the single wealthiest person that has ever walked the face of this earth. There was nothing that Solomon couldn't have, nothing Solomon couldn't buy. He had great wisdom. He had great wealth in all of this. But Solomon says, you know what I have found? He says, what does a man gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun? He said, what good is all of this? And Solomon is looking at the question of the meaning of earthly things from a perspective of earth. He's saying, under the sun, what's the meaning of all this? We work our whole lives, we accumulate things, we accumulate money, and then one day, you know what happens? For it is appointed unto men once to die. You know, Jesus told a story about a man who was rich. And he had great barns, and he couldn't hold them. He said, I'll build more barns. He said, I'll eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. And the Lord said to him, he said, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you. But then notice what he says after that. Then whose things will these be? You're going to leave them to somebody else. You're not going to take it with you. You know, we've all heard it. You can't take it with you. And that is true. But I will tell you, I heard a preacher one time say, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Did you know that? That's true. You can. And that's what Solomon's going to talk about here. There is no real profit in our activity. In Mark 8:36, Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? If this life is all that there is, then what permanent value does your life have? Well, can I tell you something? If this life is all that there is, the permanent value that your life has is none. There's none. What's the overall profit of what I'm doing? Verses 4 through 11 there, they point to a repetitive cycle in nature to prove the point that nothing is gained from all of our activity. He says the wind keeps on blowing, the streams keep flowing into the sea, and the sea is not full. He said everything just keeps going on, going on, going on, going on. You know, I am one of those kind of people. I cannot stand a routine. It drives me crazy. I'll drive a particular way to work for 2 or 3 months, and then I got to go a different way, whether it's longer or not, just to break the monotony of it. I cannot stand a routine, but we can't help it. We all, as human beings, get into routines where we do the same things day after day after day. And Solomon says, what are you gaining from this? What is the point of it all? And he says, the point of it all is absolutely nothing. The task is never done. It repeats again and again and again. And Solomon concludes there in verse 8 that our existence is full of weariness. He said, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. Nothing we can see, say, or hear will bring meaning to this lie. How many of you know who the Rolling Stones are? Come on, I know more of you than that. You ever heard old Mick singing, I can't get no what? But what does he do? He tries and he tries and he tries. And that's what life is. We can't get any. How many of you here can tell me that you are perfectly satisfied with what you have? Nobody? You know, somebody says, well, I'm content with the place I live. I wouldn't change a thing. 6 months later, they're hiring a painter because they're not so satisfied with it. Connie, he's pointing at you, not me. You know, they keep coming out with new cars every year. You know why? People keep buying them. Every year. I know a guy that every year he buys a new car. He keeps it exactly a year, and every year a new model comes out, and he goes and buys the new model of it. But you know why? He's not satisfied. We're not satisfied with what we have, and that is what Solomon's saying. No matter what we do, nothing satisfies us. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing ever changes. There's an old saying that says, is there life after death? When what we should be asking is there life before death? How many of you here live life? Or do we just exist in our routine, mundane things? And we say, you know, if I only had a little more money, it'd be better. Solomon says, no, it wouldn't. If I only had a nicer this, or if I only had a newer that, then everything would be better. And Solomon says, no, it wouldn't. You know why? Because you wouldn't be satisfied with that. Nothing satisfies. Look at verse 12. Solomon says, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. And I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. For much wisdom, in much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Solomon gives a personal testimony that he has tried everything and nothing satisfied. He said, I have had great wealth, I have great wisdom, I have great knowledge, and it left me empty. He said two or three times here, he says it's a striving after wind. You know, go outside and catch the wind with your hand. That's what he's talking about. You go out there and you keep trying to catch the wind. What's going to happen? Nothing. The wind just keeps right on going. You can't grab it. He said it's like trying to grab something that is not there. You know, it's like when I was studying this, I was reminded of my grandkids. As they would get out there when they were real little, and we'd buy them little cheap little bubble things, you know, that they'd blow into, and then they'd chase them. They never could catch them. Not one of them ever came back and said, look, I caught one. Because you know what happened as soon as they touched it? It was gone. And that's what Solomon says life is like in our that we chase after these bubbles. But he says, what causes all of this? What causes this mundane routine of life? What causes this striving after wind? Why can we not be satisfied? Verse 15, what is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. What causes all of this? The monotony, there's no satisfaction. It is sin. Sin is what causes all of this. This world that we live in is in a broken state because of human sin. And there in verse 15, the word crooked is a metaphor for sin, a moral brokenness. We are morally bankrupt. We are morally corrupt. As the Apostle Paul says, there's none who does good. There's none who seeks after God. And all our life, we strive to accumulate these things. We work hard and we go day after day after day. And let me remind you again, there's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having money. But when these things, when this money becomes the end of our pursuit, that's when we find nothing. That's when we find that there's nothing there. This world is in a broken state because of human sin. over in chapter 7 and verse 29. You don't have to turn there. Can if you want to. Verse 7, chapter 7 and verse 29. Solomon says, "See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes." In other words, what Solomon's saying right there, he says, God made man good. God made man perfect, but man fell, and man has fallen into sin, and everything in our world is broken in our world, and everything is broken in our lives. And let me tell you something, folks, until we understand that we are broken, we won't understand we need to be fixed. You know, someone asked me the other day, said, "Did you make any New Year's resolutions?" And I said, "No. Why fix what ain't broken?" But that was a lie. Did you know that? I was joking with them. But that was a lie, because you know what? I am broken. We are all broken in this world. Solomon said, "I have tried it all. I've lived it all. I've lived the right way. I've lived the wrong way. And nothing brought meaning. It is truly like trying to grab the wind." Solomon had great riches. Solomon had great wisdom. People would come from miles around to hear Solomon. You know, read the book of Proverbs and listen to what Solomon has to say, the great, wonderful, knowledgeable truth that he gives us there. Solomon had over 700. Okay, now this makes me doubt the whole wisest man that ever lived thing. But Solomon had 700 wives. But you know what Solomon said? He said, "I'm still not satisfied. Still not satisfied." You know, Paul Washer, I listened to him the other day, and he said something that I thought was very telling in our world today. He said, "Any man that is not satisfied with one woman will not be satisfied with many, because that is a sin that cannot be satisfied." And Solomon, that's what he says. He says, "I have all of this, and nothing works." Ecclesiastes gives a very bleak look at life. And we look at this, and you know, I remember as a young Christian when I read this book and I thought, man, that just makes you just want to just throw your hands up, find a hole and crawl in it. Because according to Solomon, everything that I do in life is for nothing. In the end, I will have absolutely nothing. But the Spirit of God, did you know that the Spirit of God wrote the book of Ecclesiastes just like he did the book of John? And the Holy Spirit has given us this book for a reason. He had a purpose for inspiring this. And the Holy Spirit wants to expose us to the meaningless of life in a cursed world and create a hunger for something better. This world will offer you everything and give you nothing. Did you know that? This world will offer you everything and give you nothing. Turn with me to chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. Because all the frustration that we face in this world, all of the frustration that we face in our mundane lives and our mundane jobs, let me ask you a question. How many of you here can tell me, either now or in the past, that you've ever had a job that you just absolutely loved? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven? Really? I've never had a job I loved. Never. Well, this is not a job. This is not a job. I mean, I was a house painter for 30 years, and I hated every day of it. You know, somebody asked me the other day, said, "So you were a painter for 30 years?" And I said, "Yeah, that was 29 too long." But you see, we do these, but all the frustrations, how many of you have ever come to the end of the year, to the end of the day, to the end of the paycheck, and said, "If I just had a little more"? Have you ever been there? But then later on in life, maybe you got a little more. And you know what you wanted then? A little bit more. That's the thing with riches. Riches are never satisfied. But all of our frustration is intended to drive us to Christ. Did you know that? And the whole point of this message this morning is this. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Ecclesiastes might not rightly be understood without the conclusion. Look in chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. It's all vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. The Spirit of God uses the words of this book there in the first chapter to convict my heart and say, if all your striving is for what this world can give you, in the end you will wind up with nothing. And even when you do get what you think you deserve, when you get what you think you need, when you get what you think will make you content, you will find that all you need now is just a little bit more. Because it is never satisfied. And there is only one thing that can satisfy the human heart. And that's God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon's conclusion points us towards Jesus Christ. He says, fear God and keep His commandments. We have a song that we sing in our hymnal that says the same thing. It says, trust and obey. Trust and obey. You know, the Bible says that God freely gives us all things to richly enjoy. Everything I have in my life, God has given to me and wants me to enjoy it. But when those things become the end, then I've missed it. When I say, Lord, I just need a little bit more. Lord, I just need a little bit more. Lord, I just need a little bit more. My focus is not on the Lord, it's on my things. And Solomon says, fear God and keep His commandments. Our lives are broken by sin, but when we receive redemption in Christ, He gives us eternal life. I heard a preacher say one time that in the human heart is like a puzzle, and you're missing one piece. Now, I'm not a good puzzle person. They frustrate me. I don't have the patience for them, and I'll be doing a puzzle, and this piece won't fit, and it's going to fit whether it likes it or not. And I can make it fit. But you know what? It doesn't look very good when it's done. But you know, we do the same thing in our lives. That missing piece in our lives, we think, this dollar bill needs to fit right there, but it won't. That relationship needs to fit right there, but it won't. That bigger house, that nicer car, that better job, but nothing will fit until Christ. He fits. He completes it. Then we are content. Then we are content. Only in Christ do we find true meaning and purpose in life. And folks, let me ask you a question. Isn't that what we truly want? Isn't that what we truly need, is to have meaning, to have purpose? And if the whole meaning of life is to see what I can accumulate by the end of my life, then God says, then whose will these things be? If the whole purpose of my life is to satisfy me, when I come to the end of it, I'm going to find nothing. There's nothing there. But if we find Christ, St. Augustine said, Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest where? In Thee. only as we find rest in Christ. So let me ask you this morning, what are you looking for? What are you searching for? What would truly make your life contented? What would give you purpose in life? What would give you meaning in life? Is it more money? Is it a bigger house? Is it a newer car? Is it a better relationship? You know, maybe you think, well, if I only had a better husband, if I only had a better wife, if only my children would act right, then everything would be okay. You know, the whole thing about children acting right, I find this interesting. You know, you can go through the Bible beginning with Adam, go all through the Old Testament. Every single Old Testament saint had children that strayed from God, that went away from God, didn't come back. Every single one of them. That was encouraging to me. It is. Now, I love my children and I want them to come to Christ. But I have one that probably never will. And that breaks my heart. But listen, only Jesus can give you what you need. Only Christ can satisfy. Nothing else. And the sooner we figure that out, the better. We'll be like Solomon come to the end of our... And you know, Solomon was an old man, probably close to the end of his life. And he said, let me tell you what I've learned. He said, it's all like grabbing the wind. It's all vanity of vanity. It's all useless. Fear God, keep His commandments, Solomon said. He said, this is how to have purpose. This is how to have meaning. This is how to make it all count and mean something. To come to the end of my life and hear God look at me and say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Folks, you may not realize this, but we need to. That right there will be worth more than gaining the whole world. Let's pray. Father, oh God, as we come this morning, we recognize, Lord, that we are broken people. We live in a broken world. Father, we strive day after day for the things of this world. We thank you, Father, for giving us those things. But Lord, help us to always remember that those things are not the end. May our chief end in life be to glorify you, to make Christ known to the world. Father, that we might recognize that true contentedness is only found in Christ. Only He can satisfy the needs and the hungers of the human heart. Lord, I pray that if there's one here this morning that has never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that before it's too late, that, Lord, they might this morning come, that they might come to Him and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that you have risen them from the dead. Father, I pray that this morning we would understand the true meaning and purpose of our life, that we might seek every day in all that we do, no matter what we do or where we go, to glorify you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to know more, please visit us at SherwoodShoresChapel.org. You can copy this audio. We ask only that you distribute it for free. God bless.